With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG from Scratch. I'm your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Max.
Oh, you went out of order. I'm not ready.
Yeah. All right, let's try again.
No, keep that in. No, that's reality.
All right, so we'll do it live.
People got to know. I'm not that clever.
Liam.
I have a great attitude. I want to redo mine.
Nope, we're keeping all this. If I'm going to be embarrassed by mine, you know what?
I love you, and thank you.
I love you too, Liam.
Attitude would be a good Pokemon, though.
No, but I have a...
Not a Digimon.
I have a great attitude towards menstruation.
Good. And a special guest today, Mr. Jared Pope.
Hi.
Kids in the Hall.
Ooh, wow, that was sultry. I enjoyed that.
Oh, we're going to get a lot... We're going to get a earful of that.
Honey,
these
lyrics.
Are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know.
So, Jared is going to be our character artist on going forward. We've commissioned him to make art for the specific races in our game and character concepts that we are eventually going to move into the rule book. We're really looking forward to it. We've seen some of the sketches and a couple that are a little more complete. It's really exciting. But Jared, you got to help us out this week because Doug's not here.
Okay.
And we like to begin this show when he's not here with a little bit of Doug watch.
Okay.
Mm. Where's he at?
Yeah, where are the reports of Doug coming from
Doug
this week?
Watch.
Yeah, I do believe you've interfaced with him more recently than we have.
Yes, I have, and the consensus is that he started some nude sex cult on the moon.
Interesting. Nude. That's bold.
Yes, nude.
Very bold.
That's
an absence of an atmosphere. He's always up to something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a knucklehead.
Yeah. He's a man of many talents.
It's because he's the Doug or not.
Yeah.
I remember him talking about that a couple months ago. He was saying how expensive it was to get clothes to the moon. I think he's just cheaping out. I think he changed the mantra.
Move?
He was saying, you know how fucking expensive it is to get clothes on the moon? How am I going to clothe all these people? And I think he just figured it out.
Yeah, because you have to pay per kilo, right?
Yeah.
So you send them up naked, and then you promise that you're going to get the clothes later. But now, like, hey, we're already naked, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's half the battle.
We can do the sex cult thing I was thinking of. It's a brand new idea. I'm just coming up with it.
Well, no. Doug's also found out that you can introduce methane into the moon's atmosphere, and it becomes just as potent as oxygen is on our earthly planet.
Oh, wow. So it's a fart sex cult on the moon.
I mean, sign me up.
I was going to say.
I would be.
I know one thing about sex. Farts are happening.
If I know one thing about sex, okay. It's don't.
On the moon?
Don't do sex?
Just don't.
Don't do it.
If there's anything I know about the moon, it's that every single speck of dirt is razor sharp.
Oh, and we'll get into everything. Yeah.
There's one thing I know about the moon. It's that the entire surface smells like burnt steak.
Odd, but
so
I believe you.
It's a great seasoning element, is what you're saying?
It may be. The regolith, just break into Smithsonian. Get some moon dust.
Sounds like Grandma's house, am I right?
Oh, I like this plan.
Yes. This sounds like a great eldritch feast.
Yeah, but if you huff it, the razor sharp regolith goes in your nose and slices up your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No. Huffing, you inhale the fumes.
Yeah.
But how do you inhale the fumes without inhaling the dirt?
I mean,
the microparticles.
That's the point.
It off gases. That's why it smells like burnt steak.
Like even spray paint, you're huffing, but you still get spray paint. Your mouth.
No, I think you spray into like a cup.
Yeah.
And then you huff the fumes. Kids, listen up. This is how this is how you huff correctly.
See, I'm not a man of science.
You're a man of opinions.
Mostly. Say, is it not also the third week of the invasion?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I'm saying.
We brought this up last time. He definitely isn't in Ukraine. We have confirmation that he is not somewhere.
I'm just saying the Russian stock market closes and Doug suddenly has a cheap knockoff of his original moon sex cult idea.
Suddenly he's like, I got to get out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said no passports on the moon. I didn't know what he was talking about.
I just heard that the Queen of England doesn't use a passport when she travels because her face is on every passport.
That seems like you should still have to have a passport, lady.
Yeah, but there's like
you're not above the law.
There's 80.
She absolutely.
No,
is.
No.
She okay. literally has royal immunity.
That's true.
Yeah,
she is. But I'm saying
she shouldn't, and all royalty should be abolished.
Like every law, the Prime Minister has to go to her and is like, these are the things we think are good. Do you approve? And of course she says yes.
The reason why that setup is there is they're like, hey, if you don't allow Parliament to exist, we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not anymore.
No, they would.
Nah, they make too much money. I mean, when Charles gets in, that's not going to work out.
No, they're just going to kill him. They don't like him.
I mean, if there's one thing we could say about the royal family is that it's full of a bunch of characters, right? And that's what we're going to be talking about today on the podcast.
Plus one momentum for a segue.
I liked it. But speaking of royal characters, y'all seen King Ralph?
Of course we've seen
I want to buy that movie.
So we're bringing Jared on to talk about character designs and character concepts because when you are drawing characters, you're primarily a character artist, right? Would you say figure?
I like to think so, but that's the complete opposite for the work that I do. I do mostly like architectural drawings, concept sketches for theme parks, video games, and all that. So
that's interesting. Because I think I've only seen your spicy buff dudes drawings up until recently.
Honestly, I haven't been doing a whole lot of those lately, especially during the pandemic. Like it took a dive like after 2019.
Molly Hatchet stopped putting out albums.
And you brought up this this topic because there's a lot of overlap, and you play tabletop.
Oh yes, I'm a veteran as well.
Mm-hmm. Original Grognard, probably.
Not quite that, but yes.
So what kind of RPGs have you played before?
So I've played Dungeons & Dragons, like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I've played Paranoia, Conan Adventure game that they did with, was it Mophidius or Mophidius?
I think it's
Mophidius.
How was that?
It's fun. I've been running games with it. By games, I mean one game, but I'm planning to pick it back up with some more friends.
It was the original. It's Modiphius.
Modiphius, thank you. Oh, and of course, Call of Cthulhu with you and Kat and John Laval.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, if you listen to the shows on the Omniverse and formerly Nerdy Show Network, you may recognize Jared's voice. He's been in a lot of things, including often guest starring on Flame On, the All Gay All Geek podcast, which is fantastic, but they left me in the dust a while ago when RuPaul's Drag Race became more popular. I just had never watched it.
Wait, are you were on Flame On?
Yes.
Are you a geek?
I am gay.
Oh, but what the geek part is more important.
Perhaps geek adjacent.
Okay.
I am geeky about some things, but not quite as
you had a business.
We talked about vibes no less than 25 minutes ago.
Yes.
You are definitely a geek.
Thank you.
Jeez. You've played these TTRPGs. You've guest starred on the podcast network, and now you're helping us out with ours. And this time, in purely an artistic role, we can see your work previously has been done to draw character portraits for the Call of Cthulhu program, mystery program.
Yes.
When we're making a new character, where does everybody here start? Do you start with mechanics? Do you start with an idea? Do you usually have like a list of ideas in your backlog that you're trying to push towards the front to see if it'd be appropriate?
I'm usually looking for three things. If they exist in the story, how they exist in the story. That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a hook or a quirk to differentiate them. And then a vague kit bashing of physicality. 3 to 4 physical attributes that you can depend on, and then you can start rearranging everything else to kind of flesh them out.
What about you, Jared?
Oh, for me, what I usually do is I try to pick some sort of contrarian approach to character design or just building up my character for games in general. Like,
when you say contrarian, do you mean like something about them is self-contradictory or that it's contrarian
it's
to
like,
the setting?
Like me playing a half-orc paladin who is an adherent of Sune, the goddess of beauty, going with expectations that people would, like in a general sense, not you guys. You guys are smart and clever and all that. But just
Liam has a praise kink.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, wonderful. I'll just keep throwing.
Actually, I don't. It makes me very uncomfortable. Please don't do it.
Liam's very he was raised very Catholic.
Me too. You and I should chat.
Oh, wait. Actually.
We talk about this all the time.
Yeah, no, actually. The whole thing is, it's a lot. We keep doing the math, and it's our group of friends is very Catholic.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but yes, well, I try to think of like contrasting things to augment my character more, so that way it's not some carbon copy. If I was to roll like a, if I was playing D&D, like a tiefling warlock or something like that.
Sure, so, sure. Yeah, yeah. Or if you did do a tiefling warlock, but
Cyndi Lauper, got it.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually, that'd I would love fun. That.
Yeah,
Cyndi Lauper, and you have like a giant axe or a machete. There that would go. Be Lopper.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Lopper, L-O-P-P-E-R. That's fun.
Yeah.
When you were mine.
Time after time.
What about you, Max?
I usually do the two separately, story and mechanics. Mm-hmm. Don't have anything to do with each other. Usually start with a funny name or something and work out the story, and then I look at mechanics and fit it together, but I don't usually build a character off the mechanics. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a story person.
I guess I'm the odd man out here. I definitely start with mechanics of the system.
I understand that.
I try to basically build something I think will be fun and maybe that we haven't seen before, you know, or even my play group hasn't seen before when I can. And then I try to look at like, well, what, okay, I made a gnomish barbarian, mm-hmm. you know, who fights exclusively with sentient clocks. You know, what's that character like? You know, and I try to figure it out from there.
I like
he
that
a lot. He
would
be very cool. Silly.
Yeah. Where did he get
or
the clocks?
Deadly serious.
Yeah. Are these barbarian clocks?
Yeah, they are.
Did he raid a caravan of clocks as a young boy, and then that became his
story? So are they actually sundials, not actual clocks?
Oh, yeah. That's it. And, like, the only reason he starts raging is because somebody stands in his light.
Oh.
And he goes, time to die.
I like to go for fun. If Liam says, God damn it, Max, I think that's a pretty,
pretty good
successful call that I did something great.
I guess you're usually successful then.
Yeah. A character that's dumb but needs to work. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just have a character that's messing up your party for a joke, that's not fun. Mm-hmm. But if your character can be really dumb and fuck up greatly for the party, I think that's awesome.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Make people who hate you come around.
Yes. Yeah. You did constantly need to be reminded that Slish was actually not an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot completely.
You're like, oh, he's got 6 intelligence. Yeah. Damn, okay, I forgot.
It's like, why does he not recognize simple objects?
Yeah, that's right. He grew up on a boat. Come
on. Yeah, he doesn't know what grass looks like.
Yeah.
Well, how does this overlap for you, Jared?
I have a great interest in fashion lately, just how cloth falls and lays. And I want to start breaking out of the expectations. We were talking about Mike Mignola earlier, where he was like copying Frazetta, where it's like, I want to be a good version of me and not a bad version of Frazetta.
Yeah.
So like I feel like I've reached that point in my career where it's like I've found my voice, and now I want to start refining that voice in a visual manner. And so like actually start looking for other resources and not just the regurgitation of the internet.
Mm-hmm. You guys talking shit on Mike Mignola?
No, we were okay. Praising
he's nothing
him.
But admiration.
I would say
he is my second favorite comic book artist. Mm-hmm. I have a big boner for Mike Allred, though.
I don't know if like I have a favorite. I really love, I think we talked about this earlier too, Cary Nord's run on Conan was amazing. But again, it looked like Frank Frazetta.
As a side note, I mentioned to Liam and Josh that I had met one of my artistic heroes a few years ago. His name is Katsuya Terada. He did a slew of concept art for the Zelda games back in the 90s. I'm sure if you look through like old issues of Nintendo Power, there's actually like some of his artwork in there.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. I just pulled it up.
What an age, though. Remember looking through those magazines and you would have like a 8-bit or 16-bit actual screenshot of the game, but then this beautiful art of them telling you what the game is going to be.
Yeah.
Or like on the ride home reading the manual. Like, oh, I'm going to play this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what got me into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still have some of those moments where like they did this with Book of Boba Fett in The Mandalorian recently, where they, in the credits, they show a lot of the concept art. And it's cool to see what does get translated well. And there's a bunch of other ones where you're like, man, the artist killed this scene that was not important or didn't land as well as you thought it was going to land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's out of budget, or sometimes it's just a bad idea and they had to throw it away.
Sometimes, of course, a visual artist is going to block something in an impossible way that physically they look at it and go like, we can't put people this way.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a 2-hour movie they have to stretch into like a 6 episode miniseries,
This Katsuya Terada art is making me have some flashbacks.
Super chilled guy, like he even like drew in my sketchbook, and I have yet to frame that.
Oh wow, you should.
Yeah.
How you feel about Bakshi?
I love Bakshi, that's actually. Solid. I watched Wizards for the first time a couple months ago.
I was going to make a joke that you were the art director on Wizards.
That would not be a credit I would take.
Oh, man.
A lot of this art is reminding me a lot of... I wonder if John Dyer Baisley is inspired by this guy.
Did you grow up like looking at art books or anything like that?
Oh,
like,
I did, yeah.
The gnomes?
Yes.
I had that as a kid, and that was my biggest inspiration.
When I was growing up, we had Farside Comics. Yes.
Hell yeah.
We had Calvin and Hobbes. Mm-hmm. We had The Labyrinth and Fairies.
Oh, yeah.
We had Giger's like alien design book.
Oh, I had that one, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would never tell my parents how many dicks were in it.
Wait, they had to be told? They didn't look at... Oh, man, it looks great.
No, my parents weren't involved in picking what my media.
Yeah.
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 It's so wild to me.
If you know the artist Jeff Darrow, he's a comic book artist, but he did production design for the Matrix movies. He has a relationship with Terada-san.
Oh, yeah?
They're like huge admirers of each other's work.
Have you seen the John Dyer Baisley stuff? Mm-hmm. I think you might have similar.
Okay.
He doesn't do the like cover girl style that he does, but the style itself looks very similar.
Mobius is also a big influence.
Yeah, Mobius is the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, the dude from Baroness.
Yeah, the lead singer of Baroness. Yeah.
Nice.
Which Mobius?
He did Lenkul, right?
Yeah.
Comic book? The Enkul.
There's a guy who used to hang out at the Books A Million. Or no, Barnes & Noble on Merritt Island called Mobius.
That's cool.
He wasn't Morbius, the guy?
No,
the
he was also a comic book artist named Mobius, but... I don't know if maybe the same guy. This would not be the same.
It would not be the same guy.
Yeah. Did he speak French?
No.
Okay, then that is not the same guy.
He did tell me that he knew Anne McCaffrey, though, and I was like, whoa.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
And you believed him?
Why not? Who lies about knowing Anne McCaffrey?
Well, like...
That's a... You know what? Okay. Fair, man.
So, you know what? Good point.
Mobius is the artist that basically inspired, although I think didn't get credited for any of... The entire look of the Fifth Element.
Fifth Element, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because,
you know, that it has a very specific look.
Yes.
You know. But back to, we were talking about the overlap.
Mm-hmm.
When you make a D&D character, well, mm-hmm. RPG character, mm-hmm. you look for...
Contrast.
Contrast. Yes. Is that the same that you do when character design, when you're... When
not
you're
necessarily, because the character creation for, like, me, that I try to see it as a self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
But for character design for, say, like, RPG from scratch...
Mm-hmm.
Who are those guys?
Who are those guys, indeed? What I'm doing is I'm trying to draw from important details that have been nested in, like, directives that you've written out for mm-hmm. all these character descriptions. I try to make sense of, like... Okay, what exists in this world that I could possibly attach to this other world? Because my job is I take two very familiar things, fuse them together to make something unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's just another task to do for the RPG from scratch
nice.
Project here.
And it's got a very consistent feel to it from the sketches you sent us so far. Like, I think one of our favorites that we were just like, this is just right on target. Exactly what we were thinking was the Hrod stuff.
Oh, man.
The swamp one with the skull.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exactly what we want.
Cool. Only note is more scoots.
More scoots?
More scoots.
Always more scoots?
Always more scoots.
Please tell me about the scoots.
Scoots are those little scales on the back.
Gotcha. Okay.
Wearing clothes. It's hard to see.
No, it's also we just... That's a
we've
running,
gone.
That's a running gag.
Ad nauseum on scoots.
Yeah, it's just fun to say scoots.
I'll make sure to do some very specific scoot shots for Rod.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
Just that long plunging neckline.
We gotta have the scoot shot queen.
Okay, not isolation, but the next campaign. I want to be a Rod named Stewart.
Okay,
cool.
You gonna let us in on that?
Maybe then he'd be Rod Stewart.
God damn it.
See?
I saw it.
Criteria.
Damn it.
That's all I need. But then you have to give him something clutch where he actually works in combat and saves the... That's the way to do it.
We all know Rod Stewart is pretty...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I have to say thank you for this opportunity because, as I mentioned before, I do a lot of architectural stuff for my job, yeah. And I don't get to do a whole lot of character stuff. And so this has been a fun outlet for me.
Oh, I mean, we're happy to have it. We love it. This is exactly what we want.
Good. We're both happy.
Until we become unhappy and then, you know.
I was going to say I'm not happy, but it's unrelated.
Yeah. So we talked, I think, people with a passing interest in drawing a character mm-hmm. or coming up with a character design mm-hmm. may come across the idea of, like, the unique silhouette.
Yes.
It's a very common, very common thing in anime.
And also in fashion, too. You have to think about the silhouette.
So for those who don't know what we're talking about, it's basically once you flatten the image of a character and make it a single color, it's obviously a silhouette like a shadow, but the idea that they're instantly recognizable by that shape is important. And it's important for film.
Like a Batman or a Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Or The Shape. Michael. Mike Myers, he was just called The Shape.
Was he?
Because he was just there.
Oh, when in the script?
Mm-hmm. You just see that outline, you know.
Not the guy who voiced Shrek. We're talking about the villain from Halloween.
Okay, yes. Thank you for making that distinction.
I do love Shrek, though.
I've met Shrek.
If I had a donkey, I would name it Shrek.
Okay, sorry. You met Shrek?
Yes.
Did you get his autograph?
No, he was a statue.
Oh.
But he was at the DreamWorks campus when I went there.
Thought he was.
Well, then I've met Lemmy Kilmeister.
I thought you were going to say William Steig, and I was going to give you a big high five. William Steig is the guy who wrote the original book, Shrek, if you want to borrow it.
So, I don't.
So do you focus on the silhouette of a character that you're drawing?
Sometimes I do. Whenever I want to say, like, I've adopted this process recently where I try to take more a storytelling approach to designs, my thoughts, as opposed to just doing kind of more of a, I want to say, like, art center mechanical, laying out all these silhouettes for an art director to be like, okay, I like this. I want people to get a sense of the evolution of the idea as it came out, as opposed to just doing a flat color. Like, I want them to see the line that shows the energy and the frenzy that comes from, you know, trying to get that idea out.
I've played around with the silhouette just from an art mm-hmm. standpoint. I think if anybody looks at the terrible ship drawing I did in the episode art of Gloomtown, mm-hmm. you can see that I did a much better job on the silhouettes of the characters in there. And that was the first time I think I've ever tried to draw characters that are only silhouettes. I didn't start with a frame or anything like that. I just put them next to each other and just worked on their silhouettes until they looked unique, at least to me. It was an interesting take. I felt like I could, in my head, see the whole character once I had their silhouette down, mm-hmm. but moving on past that, I wouldn't even know where to begin.
That's actually a great practice for doing, like, graphic design, because you're looking at just pure shape and color mm-hmm. and in your compositions, and so when you're able to kind of, like, piece them around and move them around, you get a really good idea of, like, the composition for your piece. So good job.
Well, thank you.
Good job.
Great. In this case, though, I think we're coming up with the character is fully built in our heads at this point because we made him from our RPG characters, right?
Yes.
And then we're trying to, like, oh, what do they look like? Let's build it from there.
If Lawrence of Arabia was a giant alligator.
Yes.
I can draw that. Those are very strong words you just threw out there.
That's what he looks like.
That's Liam's character in Leyliners.
And Kelton is a Renaissance guard captain who's pretending to be Sam Spade, but also is a pig man.
These descriptors you're throwing out are very helpful, so that way I can draw those references and try to capture the essence of that character.
But an axe, not a spade.
Yeah, Sam Axe. He sells bases. So what's interesting, you have a unique task ahead of you that is going to be, I think, more unintentionally collaborative, rather collaborative out of necessity, in that we've given you the bare bones descriptions of what these things look like because we haven't fully fleshed them out.
Yeah.
And you're having to make a concrete static image that feels like it lives in that world. So you are actually being given the freedom to make decisions about our world.
Yeah.
That we have to. It's interesting. I don't feel bound by it because we're just excited to see the image. And we're like, oh, does he have that? I guess he does. Yeah, let's add that into the.
World. This is like the best possible situation any arcs could fall into where it's like, okay, we'll do X, Y, and Z. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone who does this will now have that symbol on them. We're like, oh, why? And he's like, I don't know what it means. We'll figure that out later.
No, funny enough, what are the bird people in your game?
Krex.
Krex. The male Krex drawing I did.
It was the condor people, right?
Yeah. I paid very special attention to the symbols that I decorated his attire with because, you know, in my head, it was like, oh, they're flying, so maybe they have some sort of like mountain worship.
Oh, I'm going to pull it up.
Mountain worship kind of thing going on, so maybe like I put some like mountain designs inside of the clothing, the weaponry, and all that. So I will say that given my family's hyper religiosity, I've had an interest in other world religions, and so whenever I'm rolling a character for like another game, like I try to think of like what god worship do they have or what's their philosophy, because I feel like that governs so much more for a society when they're focused under one worldview. And so, like, how does that influence their fashion, their tools, their agriculture, and all that? And so that's another layer of complexity that adds on to that character design.
It's interesting you say that because that's actually where we started on this as well, from the sense of the world.
Yeah.
We created three different main religions and then expanded from there. And that shaped the holidays. It shaped the language for the culture.
Mm-hmm. Although some of the holidays were shaped out of wanting the math to be simpler.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or like four seasons. There's four.
Yep.
They're divided by the solstices and the equinoxes. Yes. Why? Because don't have them in the middle of your season. What are you doing?
Yeah. Have you seen our calendar?
I haven't, no.
I'll show it to you here in a second. Here's the bird people that Jared made. I did not notice that, yes, that is absolutely a mountain design. Like, it's a representation of a mountain on the shield there. It's very cool. Can't wait to show you guys this.
If you give us $5.
Yes.
Give us $5 and you can see the condor people.
The condor people, but also, I don't know if I want to give away the other bird person.
Yeah, keep that one as a special surprise.
Yeah, right, I like that one.
That one's my favorite, too.
It's my favorite, for sure.
For less than 3 cups of coffee a day.
Way less than 3 cups. How much do you think a cup of coffee costs?
It's still less.
3 cups of coffee would be like $15 a day. We're not asking for...
Well, I was going to say, if you're going to McDonald's, you're asking for a senior coffee.
What if you make your coffee at home?
Or that, too.
I've never had coffee, I'm sorry.
It tastes bad. I think we can all agree. Everybody who loves coffee agrees coffee tastes bad.
No, I think it tastes great.
Do you have a favorite so far?
Of the drawings I've
done? Yeah, of the races.
I kind of like my gelt treatment that I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bring it up here.
Definitely had a very like vivid, distinct image in my head when reading through that.
Hell yeah.
Gelt you can always have so much fun with because you think of mustelids as a pretty solid bunch, and then you start looking at them and you're like, oh no, they do. There's a bunch
so
of weird
many
ones.
Mustelids. Yeah, yeah. They're so varied.
But also like being able to translate them into, to take it beyond like a Beatrix Potter like illustration.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting too because they're named.
Like a street shark.
Yeah.
The naming conventions are so contradictory too because the least weasel is definitely the most weasel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing more emblematic.
That's also a weasel.
Yeah.
I was just thinking.
When I think weasel, I think of exactly that picture of the least weasel.
Just grim, dark wind in the willows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about we could introduce every time that we get into grimdark discussions, we need to whip out the character of the grim dork.
Ooh.
And he's just like 40K lore purist where
okay.
No, in my day, we can get into that later. We're not doing grimdark right now. We just said the word. Don't say it three times.
We can do grim dank and grim dork. They could be like a cautionary comic strip in our books.
Yeah, for little Catholic children.
Yeah.
Look, some of us are still little Catholic children at heart.
Well, yeah, because that part of you was abused for so long that you had to create a special room for that child to live in forever,
well, it's just,
safe from the world.
We've been marked, you know, with that special water.
Yeah, and the ash.
The ash, yes.
And it's really funny.
Shame.
I was talking to my son's mom today about movies and media he could watch and books we could read and stuff, and they're like, oh, that one's a little too advanced. And then I remembered, like, you know, by the time I was 6, I think I had to draw a bloody picture of several stations of the cross.
Oh yeah.
Like I was asked to do. I was also described in horrific gory detail at least once a week during catechism. Yeah,
Sunday school is like you could get away with drawing a spear inside of someone.
Oh yeah.
Usually you'd get yelled at
also
like,
man, a lot of them saints did not die in a particularly nice ways.
No. Or were not particularly good people.
Yeah, oddly enough.
Like Cyril?
Yeah.
He's a fucking monster.
Religion just has so little, like, basis on my life. The other week I saw Joe Biden on camera, and I forgot completely about Ash Wednesday, and he just had dirt on his face. I'm like, who's letting Joe Biden out on camera with goddamn dirt on his face? Like, what are they doing? We got enough problems with it. Is like, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
he's number two, second Catholic president. Yes.
So, any other questions you have about character design?
I'm going to open the floor to you on this.
Yeah, ask us stuff.
Well, I'm going to open the floor if you want to talk about some things about character design you enjoy.
Well, I love having the opportunity to do it. Just, you know,
it feels like a luxury at this point.
Yes, And in my world, it is a very saturated labor market. It feels like every other artist and their brother is a character designer in some capacity.
Oh.
And there are so many of them who are so good. You know, we're all learning. We're all growing. Mm-hmm. So the biggest lesson I've learned as being an artist is that it's not so much about the quality of work you do, but the relationships you have with people.
I would almost agree with that, just because having a strong relationship in which you're able to ask each other stuff, the work will also improve, because you're like, well, I don't want that place.
That too. I mean, you know, having good work also helps, but when you're sustaining yourself as an artist, it helps to have that relationship.
Yeah. I mean, really any kind of gig work, right? Like today I dropped my car off at the mechanic. That relationship is very important to me, to have a good relationship with a mechanic, for the same reason. Like,
I miss my mechanic.
That's kind of religious. You just got to trust the tech priest is telling you the right thing.
That's true, yeah.
You know, there's nothing I could do.
You try to talk to them, like, kind of on their level, just so that you can make conversation, but you're like, the bolter wouldn't fire this morning, and I tried to test it. I couldn't reposition the issue. It's like, oh, well, did you ring the great bell once? You know, and they're like, of course, I'm a tech priest. And you're like, I know, I'm just, you know, just asking to be funny, I guess. Ha, 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 ha. You
about
know.
Frankincense? I'm like, get the
fuck out of here. I don't know what you're talking about.
God damn it.
We don't use those monkeys anymore.
On a four-door? You're going to use frankincense on a four-door?
It's that ridiculous display
it's
last
It's sage. Time. It's obviously sage.
There's a chart on the wall.
Like the one, it's a picture of your car, but it's like those ones at the vet where it's like, does your cat have heartworms? Man, the Grimdork's about to come out. All right, well, I think that pretty well covers it. It just feels like there's a lot of overlap between these two things. Like, I mean, everybody wants character portraits of their characters made. So the difference is that they're the ones who put in the work creating the character, and then they hand it off, and sometimes their reaction to it is like, oh, I guess that's what it looks like, you know, or the artist will try to give them something general as a result. But when you're the artist, you just have a lot more freedom. But
you also have unlimited decisions to make.
That's true.
Pleasing yourself is sometimes easy, but most of the time it's really hard.
Yeah.
Where it's someone going like, no, I want these five things, make this. Some like
That's true.
If well, someone no. can order specific things, yes. you can it can that get is, pretty good.
That is helpful. That is so helpful. The worst type of client is the person where it's like,
whatever you want.
I don't know what I want, but I know what I'll see it.
Oh no! It's like do the work, but I'm not giving you input. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yes. Every tattoo artist I know wants to strangle that person. Oh. They're always just like, "What do you mean? I'm gonna like if you let me do whatever I want on you, I'm putting a burning church on you now."
Now I will say that that is me when I go like retail shopping, where it's just like, I don't know what I want, but I know what I'll see it.
Yeah, but tattoo is different.
You don't make someone draw it by hand in front that's of you true. While it's happening. You just get to go buy stuff and go like, no.
It's not like, you know, I walk into a furniture shop and it's like, no.
Can you remake this chair for me?
I thought the legs of this chair would be more muscular.
Yeah. Will this fit my bedroom? I have no idea who you are. Like, what?
You know,
you've given me no information.
I actually want to draw a chair that has like super quads.
Hell yeah.
Well, not arms, but legs. But like legs for a chair. I mean, we could draw like a chair with arms. That could be like your
like McGargle.
McGargle.
Like a silverback gorilla.
He's got an armchair.
Yeah.
An armchair. Yes, that's it.
McGargle's armchair. Write that down.
Is it like the Iron Throne, but just arms?
No, it's not made of arms. It moves around. It is a chair
like a gorilla.
Like a gorilla.
Oh, I'm down with that.
He gets McGargle.
Yeah,
he immediately got McGargle.
It needs to be either dangerous or purely functional, but somewhat unsettling. Like that's.
Well, I was going to say we don't have to use necessarily like humanoid arms.
Yeah,
that's true.
I was thinking like 100 because then
I almost think
all-terrain.
Humanoid is more unsettling.
Like, yeah, if it's like people hands.
Yeah, you're like slapping on
the. You're like slapping on the hard tile.
What if they're like gecko hands? You could just climb up a wall.
but you can only wish for it once. Like McGargle has like an IKEA company, you know, you make your own furniture, but when you get the package, you have to specify what type of arms you want to use once, because you can never use any other type of arms ever again.
And this is great because they're all secondhand. So you didn't get to pick the legs. You're like, I just needed a chair.
Yeah, I just stole this out of some rich guy's house. It's cool.
Go to sit down and it starts like lighting up a cigarette for you. And
it's worse because when you put it together, they're all little baby hands and they grow. It's like Deadpool. Yeah.
I'm actually going to veto that. I do not want to deal with that.
I think I like that better, actually, because it's creepy.
No outhouse mimics, no baby hands.
Okay.
Outhouse mimic is...
No, I love the Amazon package mimic. That is the best, greatest idea ever.
Did you see the one somebody won a... I think it was D&D or Pathfinder contest design, like a new monster, and it was a ladder mimic?
No.
Where the ladder was a tongue.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, you grow to climb the ladder and just rolls you up and eats you.
That's delightful.
I like it.
That's fun. I know we were talking about McGargle earlier, because at some point we're going to put together the McGargle's compendium of wacky and wondrous items into a designed, nice-looking PDF or even physical object if people like it. And
I do like to draw objects. Mm-hmm.
So. Hey, all right.
What if a mimic together on that? Like hit as like a treasure chest or something?
Max, you're crazy.
That would be crazy. No, you can't do that. That's copyright. Anyway, if you want to add items to McGargle's compendium of wacky and wondrous items, how would you do that?
You would go to our Patreon at patreon.com/RPGFS. You don't have to be a patron to contribute, but you can find it on our Patreon, and it will be in the About section. We previously published a submission form link in the description for design episode number 57, Submissive and Readable. All right, well, I think that's where we're going to end it today on a high note. And Jared, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
and
for having me.
I cannot wait to show off your art to the patrons. So.
Also, I want more guest stars. Hey, if you're... Don't ever anyone ask to be on the show, though. We'll choose you.
Yeah, we'll choose. We'll have our people call your people.
Do you not have people? Oh, good. We don't either.
Unless you have an agent. Have your agent call us.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. I've been your host, Josh LaForge, and I really appreciate everybody who listens. And if you please rate our podcast if you get a chance on Apple Podcasts and on anywhere you listen to your podcasts. It really helps out getting the word out there about this game we're making and the community we're building here. You can find Jared at Vaticant, like Vatican, but with a T at the end, at artstation.com.
Yes.
You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/RPGFS. If $2 and up patrons can talk to us on the Omniverse Discord, we are on Twitter at homebrewhombres and on Facebook at facebook.com/RPGFS. Thank you everybody for listening, and until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.